All right, so this morning we're going to continue with the series that we've been looking at for the past, since the beginning of the month. And the series we have been looking at is called Loving the Right Way. Loving the Right Way. And we've looked at a number of things. We started off by saying that there is a kind of love that forms the foundation of any kind of love that we might have. And we looked at the story of the prodigal son, how despite all he did to his father still took him back, welcomed him. And we're saying in that, when we started, why was it that his father was able to welcome him back and just let go of all the things that the boy had done? And we said it's because he was able to love the right way, the same way God loves us as well. So we looked at that at the very first instance. Remy looked at the importance that God places on marriage last week. I listened to the message online. Today we're going to just carry on, and I've called today's topic, Life After the Wedding. Life After the Wedding. And we're going to look at the story of a man in the Bible and his wife, and I'll highlight a number of points to us. Now, whether you're married or not, this will still speak to you, because I'm looking at a number of things that apply to you, whether you're married or not, but particularly in the context of marriage. So don't tune off and say, oh, I'm not, it will apply to you as well. So I'm looking at the story of a man in the Bible called Isaac and his wife, Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, verse 20, that's where I'll start from. And I'll just read bits from Genesis chapter 25, from verse 24, go back to 25 again. But I'll start with Genesis chapter 25, verse 20. And it says there, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. So this gentleman had, you know, was 40 years old, and he got married at that age. Someone might say, oh, that's a bit, you know, late to be getting married. Or some people might even say it's even early to get married, to get married. So it just depends on how you view that. But the point here was that after a while, this gentleman got married. Now, I'll read on. He married a woman called Rebecca. How that happened is another story. You can read the beginning of Genesis chapter 25. So if you go with me to Genesis chapter 24, 66 and 67. I'm just going to read the story. Genesis chapter 24, 66 to 67. It says, then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her, this is Rebecca, after he got married to her. It says, he brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So he gets married to this woman, and the Bible says he brings her into his house, and he was comforted. Let's read on. So they were like a tribal, they lived like it was like a tribal nation. So they had like big tents. They didn't really have houses like we have now. So everyone had their own tent. So the Bible says he got married to this woman, and he brought her into his mother's tent. His mother had passed. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, 20 to 21, and hold it there. So this guy gets married, and he's super happy. I mean, if you go on YouTube now and you just type, what do you call that thing? Weddings or wedding proposals. There's so many different types. Now, you see people on YouTube, it's like, oh. I'm not. Sorry that I'm laughing. I'm laughing at something else. Someone said to me once that, Pastor Benson, when you're preaching sometimes, you crack these jokes in your mind and you laugh in your mind, but you don't tell us what the joke is. Don't worry. I'll tell you what the joke is as time goes on. So Isaac met his wife. He had done this spectacular prep thing. He fixed up this room. He had this like lighting thing there, you know, marry me. He had roses and petals and all that on the floor. Rebecca comes in and, you know, his friends are there. It's a surprise. And he kneels in front of her and he says, will you marry me? And she says, oh, Isaac, I didn't know her. He's like, why are you guys laughing? And he goes, and she goes, oh, this is so exciting. 2 million views. And she's like with the ring. Hello, 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 hello. And Isaac is really excited. Rebecca is excited as well. She's like, man, this married life, man, girls, sorry. And she's going to heaven, girls, it's good to be married. Ah, oh. And you know, she's showing off all her rings and all that on Instagram. She's in, give me one place, Dubai. Is Dubai like a good honeymoon destination? No, Wales, Newport. Isn't Newport a good honeymoon destination? So I shouldn't recommend Newport to anybody. You guys are shaking your head like, no way, Pastor Benson, no way I'm gonna. Anyway, let's pick another one. He goes to Dubai. She's like, oh, this is so good. Instagram picture, snap, 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 snap. And it's like, living life is good, snap. I'm having a Coca-Cola, Dubai style, snap. And she's really excited. Isaac is excited as well. Then the real life starts after the wedding. Then we go on to Genesis chapter 20 to 22. Genesis chapter 25, 20 and 21. And it says, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bemuel, the Aramean. I read that previously. I'll read it again. Padam, Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. I'll come back to this in a minute. So reading that passage of scripture, you probably will have thought maybe Rebecca wanted to get pregnant first month, second month, third month, nothing happened. Her husband now goes and prays to God. No, it wasn't 2 months afterwards. It wasn't even 1 year after they got married that she got pregnant or that he prayed for her. Can someone guess here how long this went on for? Don't guess. It went on for 20 years. 20 years. The Bible tells us that Isaac had his first, they had their children when he was 60. So can you imagine? And in that culture, I mean, it's not like now that you might be like, okay, you might get married and you're like, look, I don't want to have kids. They're too much of a handful. I just want to be married. And in that culture, once you got married, the next thing was you were expected to have children. If you didn't, it was almost like what's wrong with you kind of thing. And there was a lot of pressure. So you can imagine taking all the Dubai pictures and it's like, oh girl, yeah, I'm gonna have like twins or triplets or and all that. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nothing happens. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Nothing happens. Pressure is mounting. They're like, what's wrong with you guys? And her husband prays, and the Bible says she became pregnant. Let me read on, then I will make my points once I finish reading this. Let me read another portion of scripture. So finally Rebecca gets pregnant, and something funny begins to happen to her. And if we read Genesis chapter 25, the same 25 verses 22 and 24. It says in there, 22, the babies jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she finally becomes pregnant, almost 19 years later. And she's lying down on her bed or somewhere. Then her tummy begins to rumble. And it's like, what is really going on here? Maybe she begins to panic, because in those days they didn't have, what's that scanner thing that, you know, ultra thing. They didn't have that. So she was like, what is going on here? And she begins to be worried. It's like, man, I've waited 19 years for this to happen. I had better be fine. But something that happens when this, you know, her tummy begins to rumble. So it says the babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. So she goes to God and she prays to God, and like, you know, what is really happening here? And the Bible tells us in verse 23, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you shall be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. Verse 24, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. So she gave birth to twins after 20 years. So what I've given us now is a snapshot of the life of a couple after they got married. Now, for this particular couple, they had certain challenges around childbirth. It took like 20 years. For some other couples, it might be something else. It might not be childbirth. It might be maybe one person has one challenge or the other. It might even be that maybe the husband lost his job after they got married, and he's been looking for work for months and nothing has turned up. So it could be different things in the context of marriage. For this particular couple, it was around childbearing. So what point am I about to make this morning? The point I'm about to make this morning is this. There is a certain kind of way you and I have to love the right way, after the wedding. Because if you and I do not love this way and understand each other this way, or understand our spouses this way, then it could be a slight challenge. It could be a slight challenge. So I'll look at 3 points here this morning, just looking at the story of Isaac and Rebecca. And they said my shoelaces are undone, so I don't trip. So can you just give me a minute? Thank you. I don't know, maybe I should sellotape that thing together. Stop coming off. So, I'm going to look at 3 things in the life of this couple and just highlight some points to us within the context of marriage, when someone gets married, or when a couple get married initially. So the first thing we see here is this. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 25, verse 20, that we read earlier. It says in that portion of scripture, Genesis chapter 24, 66 to 67. It says, then the servant told Isaac all he had done. It says, Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I'm going to make 3 points this morning. So this first point is this. For every couple that gets married, there is a certain kind of comfort that you can get from your spouse that nobody else can give you. So I pray I'll be able to explain what I'm about to say properly. So Isaac had a certain hole, if I can use that word, in his heart. He had lost his mother, and I don't know, he felt probably very sad. He just felt that there was something missing. Now, I believe that for a number of men, there is something with men that women need to understand, that when you get married to a man, there is something that you as his wife can give him that nobody else can give him. I repeat myself. As a woman, when you get married to a man, there is something you can bring into the life of that man that nobody else can give him. And that thing is called comfort. And what you find with some men is, some men don't even know that they need this kind of comfort. They just know that there's something missing somewhere. And what you now find men doing, some men sometimes, is in order to deal with this thing that is in their heart, this hole that is in their heart, they now might be going from woman to woman to woman to woman. And it's like, this guy, what is happening to this guy? Why can't you just focus? For some men, they're like that. But for some men, there's something that they're looking for that they probably don't understand themselves. But the woman that understands this about men or about her husband needs to understand that there is a certain kind of comfort that you can give your husband, and I believe vice versa, that nobody else can give them. And once you give them that thing, that comfort that they need, it calms the soul of that man. It brings healing to the soul of that man. So am I saying men are like babies? Yes. I'm telling you. Yes. I'm telling you. When I say like babies, not like childish. Yes. And there's something that only their wives can give them, that maybe their mom used to give them. Do you know, this is my view, by the way. Let me just put this out there. Do you know that there is something about men and their mothers? The Bible now makes a connection here that Isaac was comforted after Rebekah came into his life and he had lost his mother. So what's the connection there? I mean, why is the Bible telling us this? The Bible is telling us something that is quite interesting. Do you know that for every man, for most men, the only person that loves a man unconditionally, no matter what he does, is his mother. I'm telling you. Now, what does that mean? That means that deep inside the heart of a man, he knows that, look, growing up, their moms can, talking about good moms here, their moms can be like, this naughty boy, this. But moms usually always love their sons and their daughters, by the way. There was this documentary that I saw, and it was about this man. He was like a serial killer, and he had killed quite a few people. They caught him in America, and they put him on death row. That means he was waiting to be executed. And they now interviewed his mother, just to show you the extreme of this thing. And they said, well, now that your son is on death row, we've looked at his history. He grew up in a home that he was loved. What really happened, we're not quite sure, but this man did a lot of terrible things. Guess what his mother said? Paraphrasing, I'll call his name Johnny for this example. Oh, Johnny, he's a really good boy. He didn't really mean to kill all those people. Oh, can you guys release my Johnny, please? And the person that was interviewing her said, can you rewind what you've just said now? So, in her mind, the boy, that's her little boy. So, can you imagine how Johnny must have felt about his mom? He knew that no matter what he did, not that I'm recommending that people kill other people, he knew that no matter what he did, his mom would always love him that way. Do you understand? So Rebecca brought this kind of love to Isaac. I'm not quite sure how she brought it. And he knew that, look, with this woman, who is my wife, my heart is safe. she's got my back. So as a woman, I'm just saying, I believe it works both ways. So as a woman, you can bring your husband to the point where he knows that you've got his back and he'll do anything most of the time. I'll leave that for now. So the second point, so that's the first point that I've just highlighted here, that there is a certain kind of comfort that we can get in marriage if we're aware of it. In this case, it was Rebecca that brought it to her husband. But husbands can also bring it to their wives as well. Something that no other person can do for that individual that you're married to. So that's number one. The second point is this. We read something there that in that Genesis chapter 25, 20 to 21, it says, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca, daughter of Bemuel, the Aramean from Paddan, the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to his wife, prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer. And his wife, Rebecca, became pregnant. So the second point I want to make here is this. As a man, a husband, someone who is getting married or married, there is a certain... There is a certain, what word should I use here? You have a certain, I don't want to use the word responsibility because responsibility is not going to capture what I want to say. Let me just say that there is something, you owe your wife a lot. Let me not say you owe your wife a lot. Let me use the word responsibility. As a husband, there's a certain responsibility that is placed on you with regards to your wife in God's eyes. So, and there is a certain perspective that you as a husband or a husband needs to have as it relates to his wife. So there is the responsibility and there is the perspective that a husband needs to have with regards to his wife. And if you don't have that view yet, no problem. It's something that I believe that as men we grow into. It's something that God can help us with. So I'm not saying you have to be there now. It's something we grow into. So the second point is that as a man, as a husband, there is something that you have. And that's that you need to take care of your wife. You need to have a certain kind of attitude towards your wife. Now, why am I saying a certain kind of attitude? Do you know, Isaac could have had, there are a number of things Isaac could have done in this context. He could have said to his wife, there's something wrong with you. We've gone to the doctors and there's something wrong with you. I mean, if I had known that, you know, you're not going to be able to have kids. Maybe I wouldn't have married you. Maybe, and he could have wiped her out that way. He could have blamed her for every mistake. In some instances, it might not be children related. It could be something else. Maybe your wife made a mistake somewhere. Spent all your money. And racked up some bills, you know, cleared your account, or something else that she did. And even if it's not something else that she did, something that has happened to both of you because of a particular state she's in. Maybe one's wife is not feeling too well, maybe wife has some sort of psychological challenges. Maybe she's just down. Maybe she's depressed. Life has bamboozled her. If you don't know what bamboozled means, it means hit her in all directions. And she's just tired. She doesn't want to get up from bed. All she wants to do is like just lying for days. She resigns from work. She's like, man, I can't move. I'm tired. My life is upside down. And you as the husband as her husband, you can do a number of things. You can say, this woman, don't be lazy. Why? We have bills to pay. You have this. I mean, why are you like this? I've been telling you this day after day, day after day, day after day, but you're not changing. You're not changing. You're not changing. I've had it with you. I mean, do you want me to repeat myself? Am I speaking English here? Or am I speaking French? I've been saying this thing day after day. You're not changing. It's like you're not really listening to me. This is the husband. You're not really listening to me. I come home, okay. I mean, the whole place is like this. The kids are running up and down. I mean, you know, I work hard. Where's my dinner? No dinner? Oh, man, I'm going out to McDonald's. Do I have to go to McDonald's every day? No dinner. And the husband can do that. Isaac didn't do that. Isaac didn't do that. He prayed for his wife. And God hears all our prayers. But the Bible says something about when this man prayed for his wife, that God answered him. Him. And I believe it's because of the attitude that Isaac had towards his wife. I don't think he bashed her. I don't think he belittled her. I don't think he ridiculed her. He felt sorry for her. He empathized with her. That, my, I know how you must be feeling. I feel it the same way. What can I do? How can I help you? And I believe when God saw this perspective that Isaac had towards his wife, God was like, my, I need to do something quickly for this couple. So, what am I saying this morning? The Bible tells us, as it regards to men, husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Some men will read the scripture, but those men are not here. And they say, I'm the head of the wife. I'm the head of this home. This feminist movement thing. Women are trying to take over. I'm not for that. I'm a biblical man. This scripture, then he calls his wife. Read it. I'm pastor, read it as well. Don't quote me. I'm going to read it properly. Ephesians 5, I'm the head. So you must listen to me. All this feminist movement things that women are just trying to be like, man, I'm not for that at all. You listen when I talk. And all those things. Excuse me. That's not what this is saying. No. It's not saying that as a husband, you have become lord of the manor. You have become your majesty, the man. No, that's not what this is saying. This is saying what Isaac did. This is saying that Isaac understood that, look, if my wife is hurting, if there's something that my wife is going through that is causing her grief, then it's causing me grief as well. I am her head. Everything she's feeling that is not good, I am feeling it as well. And I'm going to pray till that thing is rectified. That's what it means. That's what it means. Still talking about husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 28. It says, husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 28, it says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It says, as Christ gave himself up for the church. That's how husbands are meant to love their wives. Is it easy? No. It's not. I was talking to a couple of people yesterday, and you know, please, I'm going to excuse what I'm about to say. So I was talking to a couple, slightly older than me. We were just talking yesterday, and we're talking, and after a while, I think I just made some references. I was like, oh, there are times that, you know, women do, sometimes women do things that are inexplicable, but it's just the way women do sometimes. And the woman in the couple says, hang on, Pastor B, that statement you made now, that women can behave in a way that is inexplicable. Explain what you mean. I said, I take that statement back. I recant that statement. I delete it, yeah. So the Bible is saying here that men ought to love their wives as Christ loves the church and live sacrificially for them. Sacrificially. I'll read on. It says, he gave himself as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So what this is saying is to husbands is, if your wife is going through stuff, or there are certain things that you're not quite happy about, the Bible says here, you're not to lord it over your wife and complain. No. Christ doesn't complain about us. He doesn't say when we come to him, oh, I'm not going to answer your prayer. You haven't prayed in the last 1 week. You didn't even open your Bible. Has Christ ever appeared to you to tell you that? Has he ever appeared to tell you that? He hasn't. So, men have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. So, loving our wives the right way means that we, like Isaac, empathize with our wives. Not bicker against them. Even when they're not behaving the way they want, you're expecting them to behave. We accommodate our wives. And again, I'm not saying this in a condescending way to say, oh, women are this and all that. No. I'm not saying that. We'll look at women another time. Today's men. So Christ expects us to love our wives this way, to take care of them. Yeah. The final point I want to make here. So what that means is that for us as men, we need to work on our relationship with God. So that if anything is happening in your house as the husband, it's not time to complain. It's time to go to God and pray to God to fix whatever it is that's going on in your house. Seriously. As a husband, you have the responsibility to pray to God to fix whatever it is that's going on in your house. Not complain. Do you understand? We go to the last point here. And this looks at the relationship of Rebecca with God as well. So you've got in a house a husband who depends on God. Things are not going the way you expect. You take it to God in prayer. But we also see something in the life of Rebecca as well, which is the third and final point I'm going to make this morning. So she becomes pregnant. Her tummy is rumbling. They don't have ultrasound. And she's like, what's going on here? What does she do? Does she go to Isaac and say, Isaac, maybe she did this, something is going on. What, you know? At a point, the Bible says something about her. It says, as the babies jostled each other within her, she said, why is this happening? and she went to inquire of the Lord. So this was a woman that, when stuff was happening to her as well, she didn't blame her husband as well. She didn't do all that. Maybe she had the conversation with him. But she understood that, look, God is there. God is the one who has instituted this marriage business. And like her husband, she understood something. That, look, if there's something going on in with me, I will pray to God and God will tell me what it is that is going on with me. And God told her that, look, you have twins in your stomach. Then God begins to tell her the future of those children. He says, one, the older one will serve the younger, and he outlines the future of her unborn children to her. So what does that tell us? It tells us that as parents, we can go to God anytime we're unsure about anything that relates to us. And God will tell you. You know, the thing is this. As I'm saying what I'm saying now, it seems a lot of the times that, hang on, how is God going to tell me that? Like, just leave that to some super spiritual person. No. If you make a habit, I said habit, of asking God to tell you things, after a period of time, as you expect God to show you something, God will direct you. I'm serious. God will. So this isn't like a spooky out there kind of thing. As we expect and as we develop our relationship with God, He will tell us these things that are going on with us. He will tell us these things in our lives. I remember, and I'll close shortly, when, I'll just use this example. When we gave birth to my daughter and they were growing up, and I believe she was about, I don't know, maybe about 8 or so, then God told us through apostle that, oh, she was going to be a lawyer, she was going to be a judge, and all these things when she was 7 or 8. And as she was growing up, it got to a time, I think she was about, I don't know, maybe about 15 or 16. She was like, oh, I want to become an artist because, you know, she's like a really good artist. I told her that when she begins to sell her work, I'll take 90% of the cuts. 10% is okay, right? No answer. So she loved art. She still loves art. She does, you know, these artistic things. And she now said, Dad, at 15, I think I want to be an artist. And I said, I want to do like animation and all that. And I said, you know, sweetheart, that's like really fine. But what God told us about you is that you're going to be a lawyer. Your art, you can do that by the side. But what God has told us, your parents, is that you're going to be a lawyer. She said, what does it mean? What do lawyers do? I don't even know what this lawyer thing is about. I said, you don't worry about that. You know? You don't worry about that. That's what God has said. Now, when it was now time, she applied to some unis. The uni she was supposed to go to didn't quite work out and all that. And we're driving down from Birmingham that day. And in my mind, I was just like, okay, God, what next now? Which uni is this girl going to? Which one? And a uni came to my mind. And I mentioned to her, I said, look, when we get home, call this uni. And she was like, she's not quite sure her grades will, they would accept her in that uni because of her grades and stuff. I said, you don't worry about that. You call this uni, tell them your grades, and see what happens with that. And that's exactly what she did. Long story short, she got into that uni. She's doing the law thing that God says she would do, and she absolutely loves it, I believe. Do you get what I mean? So am I saying if she had gone to become an artist, she would have loved it? But that's not what God told us about her. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that we can also come to the place where as we practice asking God these questions about our lives, about the lives of our children, God can direct us as parents. Do we understand? All right. I'm going to stop here this morning. So what have I said this morning? I've said, look, there is something called life after the wedding. Maybe we should put this on Instagram. There's something called life after the wedding. Weddings and all those things are fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But real life starts after the wedding. And for us to get through the real life that presents itself to us as husbands and as wives, we must really work on our relationship with God and really depend on Him so that He can help us to love the right way, help us to love our spouses the right way, so that everything that God has promised you and I, everything that is meant to happen in your life, as the Bible says, will happen as we depend on Him. Amen. Let's rise this morning and just pray a bit. So we're looking at the topic, loving the right way. The prayer I want to pray this morning is a simple one. You might not be married at this point, but you can pray for the people who you know are married, that are close to you as well. And the prayer is this, that for every man and every woman, for every couple, for every one that is here, and even those that are not here, that God will help us to love the right way, that wives will be able to love their husbands the right way. Husbands will be kind to their wives and be able to love them the right way as well. The same way we see Isaac, do in the Bible. That God help us to be able to love the right way, to love our spouses the right way, to love our spouses with care, with kindness, to be kind to one another, to be empathetic towards one another, to support one another, not to criticize one another, not to tongue lash one another, not to be insensitive to one another, but to be kind, to be compassionate, to pray for one another when we're in difficulty. And that God answers that prayer in Jesus' name. Let's just pray that this morning. Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning. Father, I commit everyone that is here into your hands, and even those that are not here, every spouse, every husband, every wife. Father, I commit into your hands everyone that is in a relationship. Lord, that you will help us to be kind to one another, that you will help us to depend on you. You will help us to depend on you in every circumstances, under every situation, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Father and our King, I just want to thank you for your word this morning. Father, we have read the life of Isaac, how he loved his wife and how he depended on you in really difficult circumstances. We read about how Rebecca, his wife, also had a relationship with you, that she was able to come to you in a time that she was in distress and you answered her. Father, we're praying we have a better covenant than they do, that help us to depend on you. Help us to love one another. Help us to be empathetic towards one another. Help us to grow in our relationship with you, Father, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.